After the joy of Easter Day, on the second Sunday each year, we meet with doubting Thomas. He has become the focus of the struggles that afflict a lot of us from one time to another. Is the resurrection story true? Is it real? Or is the Easter story just an illusion or another metaphor that's too good to be true? The materialism in our easiest worldviews, nothing is real but matter and energy, not God, not the Spirit, that cancels out resurrection. I took a lot of science courses, and that worldview is all too powerful in me. But it was God who made matter, and the energy of love is finally His. Scientific materialism, for all its gifts, is too narrow for the reality of human life. Its logics can filter out some of the things that matter most, like love. Yet doubts can run deeper than simple skepticism about resurrection to even deeper doubts. Can we trust God to be true? Can we put our lives in God's hands, trusting that God is faithful and will hold us truly and really? Doubting Thomases, there's a lot of us. That was true of the first church that gathered in the upper room. Thomas was not the only doubter there. The disciples who had gathered together after Jesus' death had scarcely been filled with faith. They were filled with fear. No gospel for them. They locked the doors. In another gospel, they did undo the locks for a minute to let Mary Magdalene in. She had visited Jesus' tomb and brought the disciples the news that she had encountered him alive. They simply did not believe her. The dead do not rise. Under that doubt, however, was the deep fear and distrust that Jesus' crucifixion had engendered. And in a way, fear, mistrust, and incomprehension were hardly new for the disciples of Jesus. Doubt and unbelief and fear accompanied them throughout the 3 years after Jesus had called them. All during Jesus' ministry, again and again, his disciples did not understand who he was and what he had come to do, sometimes just not believing it, more often getting it wrong because they could not grasp the truth. But even as the disciples did not get Jesus or his mission, they still had stayed with him and each other until they scattered at the cross, and then they came together again, even without Jesus. That was wise. Staying with other disciples really matters. If doubts and fear attack, stay in community. Stay with the other disciples. Because in spite of the disciples' slowness to believe, Jesus came to them. Jesus came to them. The people he chose, he kept. He did not give up on them. God perseveres. God's love in Jesus doesn't quit. At bottom, the doubts that undermine our faith may boil down to this: can God be trusted? Jesus' resurrection is God's answer to that. God can be trusted. On the cross, Jesus surrendered his life into God's hands. God's hands were faithful and sure. God vindicated Jesus on the third day, bringing eternal life out of death. The living Jesus reflected God's faithfulness and love to the disciples as Jesus came back to them time after time with the same amazing patience born of the infinite love that he had shown them during his ministry. Jesus came back for his disciples when they didn't believe Mary Magdalene. He came back for Thomas when he wouldn't believe the other disciples. God perseveres. God's love in Jesus doesn't quit. It can be that way in our lives, with a love that does not quit when it is grounded in God's love. Years ago, I knew a pastor and his wife who were family friends of my parents. They and their children would come over to see us every now and then. Their kids were the same ages as I, as my brother and sisters. We enjoyed each other. Completely, inexplicably, incredibly, that good family exploded when the children were teenagers. One daughter became a prostitute. Another girl joined a Hell's Angels gang. They abandoned their parents in hatred and contempt. Years later, the parents found out why. The children's aunt had envied and secretly hated their mother and had intentionally corrupted the children, taking them into a big city on holiday weekends and introducing them and soon addicting them to things no child should have to encounter, and filling them with lies about their parents. That aunt boasted about it to her sister as she lay dying. But what stands out for me in that true story is not the consuming evil of the aunt, but the love of the parents. In spite of all, that love did not die. When the parents could, as best they could, they kept on trying to make contact with the two young women. They told them that they were still loved, that they still had a home, and all the help the parents could give. The mom and dad, though terribly injured, found a way to keep the door open, to keep those young women, if they could hear at all, hearing voices of care and longing. The older sister finally did come home. She was very sick when she came. She came home to die. And die she did, but reconciled with her parents holding her hands, at peace with them and at peace with God. The younger sister somehow found out about their aunt's lies and came back to her parents, heroin addicted, to get the help to turn her life around. That she and they succeeded in doing. Those parents weren't perfect. They were not supermen of faith. They were in way over their heads and their wounds were deep. But they had life because they were in touch with God's life. Their own love would have run out like blood out of their wounds and love would have died. But they were met again and again by God's love in Jesus, and their love survived. We are like cracked cisterns that can be filled with water, that the water gradually runs out through the cracks. But God's love is endless and will keep filling us up again and again when we turn to God in faith. God's love in Jesus perseveres. God keeps coming back for us. And that's what stands out for me in this story. Fed by the springs of God's love, those parents persevered. And love won in the end. They kept on keeping on because God keeps on keeping on. That's what wins in this morning story of doubting disciples and doubting Thomas. Jesus comes back. He comes to them. He keeps on with them. He even comes back for Thomas when Thomas won't believe. Later, he comes back for Peter, later in John's gospel, when Peter had quit and gone home to his old job. Even later, Jesus came back for Paul, who wasn't just a doubter, he was a hater and persecutor. In most of our spiritual pilgrimages, we'll have times, sometimes whole seasons of our life, sometimes terrible crises. We'll have times when doubt and maybe even overt unbelief invade, when the fear that the center will not hold, that there is no firm ground under our feet, sweeps over us like waves of cold water. But that's where the truth of Easter, the sheer reality of God's eternal life in Jesus, can take hold. God does not abandon us. God's love perseveres. In the greatest crisis of faith in my own life, when our newborn baby son died, I was overwhelmed by the cold, bitter, bottomless ocean of death and meaninglessness. But Jesus came back for me, and in him I learned to swim in those waters, held up by a love and life that were not my own. Jesus came back for the disciples. He came back for Thomas. In a different way, he came back for those parents and those children, and he even came back for me. He comes back to us, gathered here today like the disciples, gathered together to break bread, and in the bread that has become his body, to encounter the Jesus who never stops coming for us. Doubting and believing alike, God in Jesus is life everlasting. God in Jesus is love everlasting. And God's love does not quit.